Well, again, happy Sabbath, one and all, and welcome to our main church service on this 14th day of December, 2019. Welcome to those joining us here in the room or on the phone or listening to the recording or on WLMR radio, and glad to have you in fellowship with us. Have one announcement to make before we get into our opening song and into our service. And that announcement is that this coming Monday, the 16th of December, there will not be a women's meeting, but there will be a women's meeting the following Monday on the 23rd of December. So please make a note, this coming Monday, there will not be a women's meeting, but the following Monday, the 23rd, there will be. So that's the one announcement. Actually, there's another, not so much an announcement, but more of a bringing to your attention a need. We have a greeting group that has been meeting together. Our dear sister Ceresia, Sister Cece, is in charge of welcoming committee, if you will, and reaching out to those that are visiting with us or have visited in the past, and is having very good results so far. And if Sister Cece would like to give a short testimony on how it has been received, that's great. If not this time, it could be the next Sabbath. Sort of putting her on the spot here. But those that would like to be part of this group that is reaching out to others, please contact... Okay, next Sabbath. All right, thank you, Sister. Please contact Sister Ceresia, Sister Cece, and... she will be more than happy to incorporate you in with this important outreach that is taking place. Already excellent results have been received from individuals that have been benefited by it. And thank you, dear sister, so very much for being in charge of this group. Our opening song for today's service is Dare to Be a Daniel. And in these last days, this idea of having to stand alone sometimes and to make your position known to others that may not like the position you're taking becomes of more and more importance, so that we may truly confess Christ before individuals and allow the truth of our position and of God's word to be known. Dare to be a Daniel. Standing by a purpose true, heeding God's command, honor them, the faithful few, all hail to Daniel's band. Dare to be a Daniel, dare to stand alone. Dare to have a purpose firm, dare to make it known.
Many mighty men are lost, daring not to stand, who for God had been a host by joining Daniel's band. Dare to be a Daniel, dare to stand alone, dare to have a purpose firm, dare to make it known.
Many giants great and tall stalking through the land, headlong to the earth would fall if met by Daniel's band. Dare to be a Daniel, dare to stand alone. Dare to have a purpose firm, dare to make it known.
Hold the temperance banner high, on to victory grand. Satan and his hosts defy, and shout for Daniel's band. Dare to be a Daniel, dare to stand alone. Dare to have a purpose firm, dare to make it known.
Amen. Amen. It's time to stand for the Lord and be counted on his side and no longer be in the background. No longer trying to hide yourself, but confess the Lord Jesus Christ before men, and Christ will confess your name before the Father. That's what we want, dear ones. So dare to be a Daniel, and God will take care of all the consequences of your standing for him. Well, let's go ahead and bow our heads and our knees for opening prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you so very much for the great sacrifice that you've made for each and every one of us. Thank you for providing us a way of escape from certain sin and destruction, that we might find relief, freedom, in Jesus Christ, and in the end, eternal life. We thank you so very much for opening our eyes and understanding to the truth, and please, Spirit, continue to work within us, not just a understanding of the truth, but a practicing of it. And we thank you for the grace and strength making this possible. We don't want to rest content with where we are. We want to continue to advance. So please continue to work within us a transformation of character, that we may grow from one level of character development to the next level, from glory to glory, until we fully represent Jesus in life and character. And thank you for making this possible. Help us to dare to be a Daniel, to stand firm and true to the gospel of Jesus Christ, and to hold the temperance banner high. Help us indeed to live by every word that proceedeth out of your mouth, especially in regards to having and maintaining good health. And thank you for letting us know what the laws of health are, that we might be growing ever more healthy, ever more capable of being a right and correct example of a true Christian. Not just in doctrinal beliefs, but in life. Thank you for helping us in this goal, in this work, and in representing you more fully. So please, dear Spirit, be with us and open our eyes in a greater way to understand the other laws of health that we will be going through today. Be with those that are requesting prayers, especially for healing. Please hear and answer their petitions. And thank you, Savior, for being their and our great physician and our healer. Thank you for hearing and answering this prayer in Jesus' precious name. Amen. So again, happy Sabbath, dear ones. And this is part two in our sermon, To Have and Maintain a Good Health. And in our first part, last Sabbath, we discovered that God is concerned with how we treat our bodies. And this is because Christ died to redeem and to save us from sin and death. He gave his life that we might live. So then even though we've been given the freedom of choice, yet we're still not our own property, because we've been purchased by Christ and have become his possessions. And as such, we're to become a holy temple for the indwelling of his Spirit. So then, since our bodies are the possessions of Christ and we're to be the dwelling place of the Holy Spirit, then if we should choose to disobey God's will and misuse or abuse our bodies, then we're going to have to suffer the consequences for that wrong choice. But God doesn't want any of us to suffer from sickness and from other problems caused by our bad choices, by our bad health. But God instead desires that we should prosper in health. And it's for this very purpose that we can prosper in health that God has mercifully revealed to us the laws which govern our health. And for those that would like to follow along, you can find the quotes that I'll be referring to on our website at lightministries.com /ID2030.htm. And if you look at quote number one, the eight laws of health that God has revealed are pure air, sunlight, abstemiousness or temperance, rest, exercise, proper diet, the use of water, and trust in divine power. And that was from the Ministry of Healing, page 127. So there's eight different laws of health. Pure air, sunlight, temperance, rest, exercise, diet, water, and trust. And we also learned last time that these health laws can also be used as simple remedies that we can follow to overcome sickness and regain our health if we find ourselves suffering from poor health. So we can use these laws as remedies to regain our health. And last time we examined the health laws of air, exercise, and proper nutrition. And today we're going to continue examining more of the remaining laws of health. And we're going to be looking at the health law of rest. And if you look at quote number two, you know, after a hard day at work, what can be sweeter than to rest your head on a soft pillow and fall asleep? And when we sleep, the activity of our body actually changes gears. It goes into a different form of activity. Certain areas of our brain switch off, and other areas turn on and reorganize the daily information that was gathered. And instead of providing energy for work, the nighttime body systems focus instead on repairing any damage that had occurred during the day And they also work to replenish the energy that was used up, and a rejuvenating of the whole body system occurs during sleep. And, you know, nature will restore our vigor and strength while we sleep if we do not continuously violate the physical laws of health. So we cannot cheat very long on not getting enough sleep without sacrificing our health, because it's during the time we sleep that our body rejuvenates itself. So the less sleep you get, the less rejuvenation occurs. So those who labor hard to accomplish just so much work in a given time throughout the day, and who then continue to work when they should stop and rest, never really are benefited by this overworking. Each human being has what's referred to as a constitution. And this constitution is like a storage house of energy. It's like a battery that the body taps into in order to handle emergencies, deal with stress, overcome sickness, and all the other demands upon the system. So then if you overwork, you're actually borrowing energy from your constitutional reserves, from this battery, if you will. And when this reserve energy is recklessly used up and there's very little or none left, then when it's required at some future emergency, your constitution will not be able to provide the extra energy, and then your health will begin to break down. So those who continue to overtax their bodies will find that they lose much more than they really gain by this overtaxing. And even though they may not realize any immediate injury, they're actually undermining and ruining their constitution and thus lessening the time that they live. And in order to help your body repair and rejuvenate itself, as well as to help replenish any constitutional reserve energy that you've used already, it's best to go to bed between 9 to 10 p.m. each night. And this is because every hour of sleep that you gain before midnight actually benefits your body the same as 2 hours of sleep would do after midnight. So every hour of sleep before midnight is actually worth 2 hours of sleep after midnight. So then if you went to sleep at 9 p.m. and then woke up at midnight, in just those 3 hours, you would have had replenished the same amount of energy to your body as if you had slept from midnight to 6 a.m. So if you want to not only have enough energy for tomorrow's activities, but to also be able to put vital energy back into your constitutional reserves, back into your body battery, then make it a habit of going to bed before midnight each day. And did you know that Jesus took time out of his busy schedule in order for him and his disciples to follow this law of rest? In Mark 6, verse 30 to 32. And the apostles gathered themselves together unto Jesus and told him all things, both what they had done and what they had taught. And Jesus said unto them, Come ye yourselves apart into a desert place and rest a while. For there were many coming and going, and they had no leisure so much as to eat. And they departed into a desert place by ship privately. So these verses reveal to us that if Jesus was so concerned about finding time to rest a while, then this law is also important for us to follow today. Now, just as physical rest is necessary for your health, and without it you would soon waste away and die, so spiritual rest is just as essential for your well-being, and without it you will just as surely die, but it will be an eternal death. And if you look at quote number three, dealing with this spiritual rest, only Jesus can provide you with it. In Matthew 11:28, we're told, "Come unto me," Christ said, "all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." So these words of Jesus are not just dealing with spiritual rest, but He also gives you physical and mental rest as well. So it's a total rest that you find in the Savior. And as any type of healing will require rest, so then Jesus is providing you rest as well as healing, whether physical, mental, or spiritual. You find it all in the Savior. So even though you may have brought suffering upon yourself by your own wrong course of actions, yet the Savior looks upon you with tender compassion and pity. And if you would only come to Him, you will indeed find help. You will find healing, and you will find rest. And He will never ignore or turn you away if you come to Him. We're told in John 6:37, "Him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out." Now, true spiritual rest is a rest from the guilt pressed upon you by your own sins. And it is only through Jesus that you can be set free from this pressing guilt and escape the bondage and the condemnation of sin. We look at quote number four. In Romans 6:16-23. "Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey? Whether of sin unto death, or of obedience unto righteousness? For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." So true spiritual rest, a resting from guilt that's been pressed upon us by our sins, can only come from Jesus Christ. Now also dealing with rest, if you look at quote number five, God rested the seventh day after creating this world. You can find that in Genesis 2:2-3. So then the same seventh day Sabbath that God rested upon is a weekly reminder that Jesus is our Creator as well as our Redeemer and Savior from sin. And especially on the holy Sabbath hours of each week, which is the seventh day or Saturday, Jesus personally invites you to separate yourself from all earthly activities and cares so that you might enter into this special day of rest with Him. We're told in Hebrews 4:4-9-11. "For He," referring to God, "for He spake in a certain place of the seventh day on this wise, and God did rest the seventh day from all His works. There remaineth therefore a rest," or a Sabbath, "to the people of God. For he that is entered into his rest, he also has ceased from his own works, as God did from his. Let us labor therefore to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. So that is the health law of rest, both physical, mental, and spiritual. And what a joy it is to cease from our own works and to rest and worship God on His holy seventh-day Sabbath. Now, the next law is the health law of sunlight. And sunlight is one of nature's most healing agents. Not many people realize that. And so it's a very simple remedy to go outside and enjoy the rays of God's sunlight, or to open the curtains and to beautify your homes with allowing the sunlight in. Now, the sun is huge. It's big. And it's estimated that 1.3 million planets the size of our Earth could fit inside the sun. That's how big it is. And the sun is about 93 million miles away from Earth, but it only takes about 8 minutes for the sunlight to reach us. And the sun is basically a giant ball of light and energy, but it's held in check by God. Because if the intensity of the sun's heat was increased or even decreased in any significant amount, life on this earth would be in grave danger. But the rays of the sun should not be feared as long as it's in moderation. And this is because sunlight destroys bacteria, and thus sunlight can help prevent infections. Sunlight has shown a positive effect on the cardiovascular fitness and muscular endurance of college-aged men when they were tested. Sunlight also showed a 30 to 40% decreased risk for breast cancer occurrence among women who were tested and who got at least 10 to 15 minutes of daily sunlight exposure. Sunlight has also been shown to reduce blood pressure, to decrease excess cholesterol, to increase the production of red blood and white blood cells. It also improves circulation, and it even helps in weight loss. And best of all, when unfiltered sunlight hits your skin, vitamin D is produced, and vitamin D is essential for calcium to be utilized by your body system. In other words, to make your bones strong. So direct sunlight exposure, of course, in moderation and without the use of sunscreen or tanning oils, is essential for good health. I mean, just look in nature, the results of sunlight exposure. When grass first sprouts, it has to push its way through the soil of the ground. And when it emerges, it's pale. But once it finally reaches the sun, then it turns a very healthy, deep green, all because it was able to have the health and life-giving rays of the sun reach it. So then in turn, those individuals who are pale and sickly, if they would just go out into the sun and receive the light and warmth that it gives, they would also be able to enjoy its life-giving and health-providing power. They would no longer be pale, and they would no longer be as sickly. If you look at quote number 6. Now, just as sunlight is essential to health, and you should not hide yourselves away from its warming rays in moderation, So we should not hide ourselves away from Jesus, because he is the Son of Righteousness. And Christ desires to come to you with healing in his wings, which is Malachi 4:2. So Jesus is not just the Son of Righteousness, but he also comes with healing, just as the natural sunlight does. And Jesus promises to bring healing for every sin-sick soul. Many who are dwelling in the dark shadow of sin and death need to realize that they have a hope of salvation if they would just turn their faces to the light of the world, Jesus Christ. We're told in John 1, verses 4 and 9, in him, or Jesus, was life, and the life was the light of men. That was the true light, which lighteneth every man that cometh into the world. So Jesus is not just our life, he's also our light. And Jesus is the true light. And if you will choose to open your heart each day and receive the healing beams of his love and righteousness, then you will indeed find the healing balm needed to live a new and a better life. So as God has given you the sun, and the rays of the sun bring light and healing in their warmth, so Jesus has been given to you by God as the light of truth to bring healing warmth to your souls. So God has given you both the Son and Jesus to enjoy and receive as a great blessing, as well as for health and long life. And for those who accept Jesus as their Savior, it's an everlasting life. In 1 John 5, verses 11 to 12, God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. So that's the law of the Son. And the next law is the health law of temperance. And the best condition of health will largely depend on temperance. Temperance means moderation and abstinence. And abstinence means to refuse to or to give it up. So refuse to give it up deals with abstinence, something that you need to give up, and many people refuse to do so. Moderation is to be in all things that affect our daily lives, whether we work or eat, drink, think, whatever we do, it's to be in moderation. And abstinence is to be towards all things which are harmful to your health. Being temperate in your diet will be rewarded with mental and moral vigor. Being temperate in your diet will also aid in the control of your passions. But overeating will be especially harmful to those who are very slow in their temperament, kind of sluggish. And if you have problems overeating or being temperate in diet, then you should really eat less and take plenty of physical exercise to help to overcome that. Now, there's men and women who have excellent natural talents and gifts, But they do not accomplish half of what they might accomplish if they would only exercise self-control and deny their appetite when it clamors for food. But irregardless of whether your daily work is physical or even mental, if you would only eat two or three different kinds of simple food at each meal, then your health would be greatly benefited. But some wish that an exact rule could be prescribed for diet. But one person cannot lay down an exact rule that another should abide by. So this means that each of us must examine ourselves, our body systems, and how they function, and then understand what is the best food for the health of our particular body. So then everyone needs to exercise reason and self-control and act from principle. And also remember this. The less attention is called to the stomach, the better you're going to be. If you're in constant fear that your food is going to hurt you, then it most assuredly will hurt you. So when you eat, forget your troubles. Forget about where the food may have come from or been grown by. But think of something that's more cheerful. If you've asked God to bless your food and you've taken the precautions needed to make sure it's the best kind of food, then don't worry about your food. You've asked God to bless it. So then, believe it's blessed and there's no harm. Now, also in regards to temperance, you should be careful not to take upon yourself burdens that others can and should be bearing in your place. So in other words, don't take on too much work. You should always encourage a cheerful, hopeful, and peaceful frame of mind because your health will largely depend upon it. The work that God requires you to do will not prevent you from caring for your health. The more perfect your health, then the more perfect will be your labor. But when you overtax yourself and when you become exhausted, that's when you're liable to take a cold or become sick. And if you take a cold or become sick, then there's a greater danger of disease afflicting you and growing. So you must avoid being presumptuous in believing that God will overrule your intemperance, even if you've overworked in God's work. God has placed upon you the responsibility of being temperate in all things that you involve yourself in, including in his work. So God doesn't want you to take on more responsibilities when you should have less responsibilities because you're being overworked. You know, God could have created this entire world in just one day. But he took 6 days to do it. Why? If he could have done it in one, why did he take six? It's because God wanted to plainly teach his people the law of temperance, and he did so by his own example. So let us be temperate in all things. Let us not take on too much work, whether it's mental or physical. And let us make sure that we do not burn the candle at both ends. but to only work a proper amount each day. Let us be temperate in all things. Paul uses this example to teach us a very important spiritual lesson. You look at quote number 7. In 1 Corinthians 9, verse 24. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that ye may obtain. This verse brings out the fact that in the warfare in which we are engaged, all can win if they will discipline themselves by obedience to this law of temperance. They're to run so that they may obtain. But practicing temperance is too often overlooked as being an unimportant or trivial part of life. And this is especially among the youth and the young adults. But in view of the eternal issues that are at stake in these last days, nothing which involves our health is really small and insignificant. And that's because every act casts its particular weight into the scale that determines whether we gain the victory or are defeated in this warfare. So there's nothing that is really small. It all matters. Adam and Eve lost Eden because of being intemperate. And so you can see that temperance has much to do with our regaining Eden than many people may realize. Anything that lessens your physical health will enfeeble your mind. Anything that enfeebles your mind will make you less capable of discerning between right and wrong. And if you can't discern between right and wrong, then you won't be able to choose the good and avoid the evil. And it all depends upon temperance. Now, Paul continues on this law of temperance in his discussion there. And he brings about the example of contestants that were participating in the ancient Greek Olympic Games about how strictly self-denying they were that they may win. In 1 Corinthians 9, verse 25 through 27. Every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. So Paul shows us in these verses that if we really desire to obtain an incorruptible crown of eternal life and not to be cast away from salvation, then we must be temperate. We must practice this law of temperance in every area. And God will indeed give us all the grace and the divine strength that we need to deny the temptation to overwork ourselves or to overeat in food, to indulge in areas that we should not be indulging in. God will give us all the grace and strength that we need to be temperate so that we may come off more than conquerors through Him that loves us, which is Romans 8:37. So that is the law of temperance. Now, so far, in parts 1 and 2, we've examined the laws of health that deals with pure air, exercise, nutrition, rest, sunlight, and temperance. And next time, we're going to examine the last two remaining laws of health, which are trust and water. And I wonder what exciting principles, exciting truths we're going to discover regarding trust and water. Dear ones, may we so run in this last race of life that we may obtain the prize of eternal life by following the laws of health. Our closing song is Fight the Good Fight of Faith. Fight the good fight with all thy might. Christ is thy strength and Christ thy right. Lay hold on life and it shall be thy joy and crown eternally. Lay hold on life and it shall be thy joy and crown eternally. Run the straight race through God's good grace. Lift up thine eyes and seek his face. Life with its path before us lies. Christ is the way and Christ the prize. Life with its path before us lies. Christ is the way and Christ the prize. Cast care aside, lead on thy guide. His boundless mercy will provide. Trust, and the trusting soul shall prove. Christ is its life, and Christ its love. Trust, and the trusting soul shall prove. Christ is its life and Christ its love. Faint not nor fear, his arms are near. He changeth not and thou art dear. Only believe and thou shalt see. That Christ is all in all to thee. Only believe, and thou shalt see. That Christ is all in all to thee. So dear ones, fight that good fight. And you'll find that Christ is thy strength, Christ is your right, he's your life. And if faithful to him to the end, he'll give you that crown of eternal life. And the joy and the pleasures of eternity will be yours. And dear ones, following the 8 laws of health will enable you to fight that good fight manfully or womanly in the Lord and to come off conquerors Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we thank you for giving us thy word and for pouring upon us thy spirit that we can understand it more fully. And also for giving us thy son to help us each step of the way. Thank you, Savior, for being willing to unite yourself with us and us with you, for yoking yourself together that we can advance up that straight, narrow path as one with each other. And united together, there's nothing that the devil can do against us. It's only when we separate ourselves from you that we fall a prey to his artful temptations. We thank you that we're a day closer to heaven, and please help us to be earnest in our fighting of this good fight. Help us to be more devoted in seeking salvation, in putting off the old man or the old woman experience, and instead putting on Jesus Christ. Help us to achieve the goal that for us to live is Christ. Forgive us for taking so long. Forgive us for not yet being ready, for not yet resembling our Savior in every aspect of life. Forgive us for missing the mark, for continuing in sin. But please help us to humbly repent, confess our sins, to plead for cleansing, and then for the grace and strength to walk hand in hand with you in a better way of life. Thank you so much for being here with us, and please continue to dwell with us and never leave. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Amen. Comment in the room, may we be conquerors in Jesus. Amen indeed. Well, dear ones, are there any thoughts, any comments, any questions, any songs, testimonies? Anything else that you'd like to share as we're in our after church service time? And please go right ahead.
As you were finishing up the youth and adult Sabbath school, a song came to mind, and I looked it up in Hymnary and I found it. With your permission, I'll try and execute it. It's called Let Him In. There's a Savior at the door, let him in. He has been there oft before, let him in. Let him in ere he is gone, let him in the Holy One. Jesus Christ, the Father's Son, let him in. Open now to him your heart, let him in. If you wait, he will depart, let him in. Let him in, he is your friend. He your soul will sure defend. He will keep you to the end. Let him in. Hear you now his loving voice. Let him in. Now make him your choice. Let him in. He is standing at your door. Joy to you he will restore, and his name you will adore. Let him in. Now admit the heavenly guest. Let him in. He will make for you a feast. Let him in. He will speak your sins forgive. And when earth ties all our rhythm, he will take you home to heaven. Let him in.
Amen. There's a request for, O Jesus, let me walk with thee, or O Master, let me walk with thee. And I think this is the hymn that you're asking for. Oh, Master, let me walk with thee in lonely paths of service free. Tell me thy secret, help me bear the strain of toil, the fret of care.
Yep, that's it.
Help me the slow of heart to move by some clear winning word of love. Teach me the wayward feet to stay and guide them in the Godward way.
Teach me thy patience still with thee. In closer, dearer company, in work that keeps faith sweet and strong, in trust that triumphs over wrong.
In hope that sends a shining ray far down the future's broadening way, in peace that only thou canst give, with thee, O Master, let me live. Amen. Thank you for that selection. It's been a while since we've sung that hymn. That's beautiful. Are there any other suggestions, any other songs, questions or comments, testimonies? Please go right ahead, dear ones.
There's another walk with me. Let me walk with thee, my God. As Enoch walked in days of old. Do you know the tune to that one? as Enoch walked in days of old, place thou my trembling hand in thy unsweet communion with me hold. In love upon I may not see, yet Jesus let me walk with thee.
Amen. I cannot dare not walk alone. The tempest rages in the sky. A thousand snares beset my feet. A thousand foes are lurking nigh. Still thou the raging of the sea. O Master, let me walk with thee.
Mi mano ten pues de hoy en más, del mundo el bien dejando atrás. Valiente seguiré tu luz con la bandera de la cruz. Espero en Sion poder entrar. Do yo contigo quiero andar.
Amén.
Amen. That was beautiful, dear ones. Boy, some requests for hymns we haven't sung. It seems like ages. But they're beautiful hymns. Any other suggestions or requests, dear ones? Oh, sure. Yeah, that's another good one. Look for the waymarks.
Look for the waymarks as you journey on. Look for the waymarks passing one by one. Down through the ages, past the kingdoms four, where are we standing? Look the waymarks o'er. Look for the waymarks, the great prophetic waymarks, down through the ages, past the kingdoms four. Look for the waymarks, the great prophetic waymarks, the journey's almost o'er.
First the Assyrian kingdom ruled the world, then Medo-Persia's banners were unfurled, and after Greece held universal sway, Rome seized the path scepter, where are we today? Look for the waymarks, the great prophetic waymarks, down through the ages, past the kingdoms four. Look for the waymarks, the great prophetic waymarks. The turn is almost o'er.
Down in the feet of iron and of clay, weak and divided, soon to pass away. What will the next great glorious drama be? Christ and his coming and eternity. Look for the waymarks, the great prophetic waymarks, down through the ages, past the kingdoms four. Look for the waymarks, the great prophetic waymarks. the journey's almost o'er.
We have heard the joyful sound, Jesus saves. We have heard the joyful sound, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Spread the tidings all around, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Bear the news to every land, climb the mountains, cross the waves. Our Lord is our Lord's command. Jesus saves, Jesus saves.
Wafted on the rolling tide, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Tell to sinners far and wide, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Sing, you islands of the sea, echo back, you ocean caves. Earth shall keep her jubilee. Jesus saves, Jesus saves.
Sing above the battle strife, Jesus saves. Jesus saves. By his death and endless life, Jesus saves. Jesus saves. Shout it brightly through the gloom, when the heart for mercy craves. Sing in triumph for the tomb. Jesus saves, Jesus saves.
If the wind's a mighty voice, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Let the nations now rejoice, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Shout salvation full and free, highest hill and deepest cave, this our song of victory. Jesus saves, Jesus saves.
Now here's another hymn. We speak of the realms of the blessed, that country so bright and so fair, and oft are its glories confessed, but what must it be to be there? We speak of its pathway of gold, its walls decked with jewels so rare, its wonders and pleasures untold, but what must it be to be there?
We speak of its freedom from sin, from sorrow, temptation, and care, from trials without and within. But what must it be to be there? We speak of its service and love, of the robes which glorified wear, of a church of the firstborn above. But what must it be to be there?
Our mourning is all at an end when raised by the life-giving word. We see the new city descend, adorned as a bride for her Lord. The city so holy and clean, no sorrow can breathe in the air. No gloom or affliction of sin, no shadow of evil is there.
Do thou midst temptation and woe, for heaven myself prepare, and shortly I also shall know, and feel what it is to be there. Then o'er the bright fields we shall roam, in glory celestial and fair, with saints and with angels at home, and our three gods will be there.
Amen. And what a joy it will be to be there. It will be worth it all. Well, dear ones, there's a request for prayer in the room, and so let us please bow our heads. Precious Father, we come before thy throne in the name of Jesus, and we lift up Brother Anson, that you will please draw near to him, and please, Savior, be his great physician and take his case in thy hands. And I pray that you will bring healing relief to him, that his high temperature and the seizures and everything connected with that serious condition may be alleviated and he be brought back to health. And let him know that you have brought him healing relief, that he may dedicate his life to you out of gratitude and love for giving him a second chance at life. We thank you in Jesus' name for hearing this prayer and answering it already according to thy perfect will. And let there be a wonderful testimony of praise to your name that occurs because of this situation. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen.
As you were going through the laws of health here the other day, I noticed that the fourth commandment of health says, "Come now, put your shoes on, let's go for a walk." That needs to be changed. I have learned something recently. A lot of people's ailments go away if they take their shoes off and go for a walk on grass or dirt. In the city, there's only concrete, and you don't gain much walking barefoot on the concrete. I'd like to share a link with the folks in the room, with Bob's permission, regarding that. And I think it would be helpful. You can't do it in the winter, but we could do it in the summer. As the man said, in the 60s, they invented synthetic rubber, and they put that for shoe soles. And because of that, we are insulated from the ground, and we don't derive the benefit that barefoot walking on the grass or dirt gives one. So the ball's in your court, Bob.
Brother Dick, what exactly are the benefits of walking on dirt and grass, if you don't mind? I mean, it's information that you're sharing, but what are the benefits? Because I was basically taught, like, sometimes walking without that, you can get parasites in your foot that can cause you to get sick. So if you don't mind enlightening us, that would be great.
Well, if you walk on glass, you get cut too. Probably the parasites don't exist out in nature quite like they might around a city. Then again, when you go to the park, you who live in the city, and try to walk barefooted, you might walk on some dog poop and some other things that would give you some parasites. Out in the country, there's less chance of that. But it is a concern if you're worried about parasites. It's something to think about. But the idea was not walking on dog poop. It was walking on dirt or damp grass. It'll also help you to remove the static electricity from your body in the evening. So those of you who have trouble sleeping, and you will sleep better.
Brother Dick, Brother Bob says, yes, you can share the link in the room.
All right, I'll go look it up.
When I was a kid, I went barefoot all the time, and we lived in the city. The asphalt got pretty hot, but you know, your feet get used to it. I could walk on hot asphalt pretty easily when I was a kid. I can't now. If I'm barefoot and on asphalt now, I look for the white lines. They're a lot cooler.
Yeah, speaking of the comment in the room, it says sand would be nice to walk on. I love the feel of sand between my toes, but I remember walking on sand, and we must have walked 2 miles, something like that. And it was a fun walk, but I noticed that it was sort of an exfoliant on my feet, and my feet became very tender. It started taking off all the calluses. So I guess that's where temperance comes in. But it felt really nice. And I know grass, especially a little bit wet grass in the summer, that feels wonderful on the bottom of my feet. Oh, thank you, brother, for the link.
Watch out for the bees and the clover. I got stung many times stepping on bees.
Don't walk on clover. Bees are going to be there. You'll also hear in this link about various ailments that people have that go away when you connect back with the earth. Now you'll say, yeah, but this sounds like yoga and New Age. Well, just remember, everything they do is not wrong. So I give you the link, listen to it, and God give you understanding.
Thank you, brother. And have any of you heard of putting a cut onion on the bottom of your foot through the night? And then in the morning when you look at it, the onion's black? That shows you, yeah, I see Josh's face. That shows you that the bottom of your feet can be used to draw out poisons that are in the body. And I know that sounds really strange, but it does have the ability to help in that area of health, in eliminating toxin and so on. Yeah, not on my feet. So I guess there is some scientific backing to warrant walking barefoot having some benefit, like with the feet coming in contact with the dirt or with mud even, might be able to draw some of the minerals that are there to benefit the body. I mean, that is something I've never thought of. I'll have to do some more thinking on it, but there is that point where you would actually wrap the onion with like an ace bandage or something to hold it there through the night. Yeah, or a sock. You can use a sock to do that. But I have not yet tried that. So,
information. If you decide to put this onion on the bottom of your feet, you can probably just put a sock over it. But if you try to put the onion on any other part of your body, you should put olive oil or something on first because it will blister. I had my dad do that to me while he was learning. I broke my leg. I had a compound fracture. He put a cast on me and left a hole in the cast about this big, and he stuffed that full of onions. He was going to do some good for me. Well, the next day when they took the onions off, I had a blister that wouldn't quit. He said, well, I guess I've learned something. If you put onion or garlic on tender skin, put some olive oil on you first.
I think the pure joy from feeling the wet grass or wet sand or something like that would make you feel so good. That would be a real benefit to your body and your mental outlook.
Amen, amen. And God has the things of nature interrelating with one another more than we realize. It's like the birds that are singing their songs in the morning and throughout the day and at evening. Their songs, the tunes that they sing, actually help the plants to absorb nutrition. So it's quite amazing. So the birds are just not out there singing praises to God and you know, beautifying the air with their musical tunes, but it actually benefits nature. It's wonderful. It's amazing, the interconnectedness of things.
As the author of this, that this website link is about, says, we go to bed at night, we sleep on an insulated bed. We get up in the morning, we put our shoes on, we go to school. Kids, we get on an insulated bus, we get to school, we're on an insulated floor or out on the insulated concrete or asphalt playground. And there's just no chance to connect with the earth. Then you get back on the bus and go home, and it's insulated all the time. He says the voltage in the body can build up. He said something astonishing, like it can build up to 20 volts. Man, that's shocking. I knew our bodies work on electricity, and a small amount of voltage is good. But 20 volts? Well, I'll tell you, if you if you were to kiss somebody and they were the opposite polarity, it would be sparks. I remember when I worked at Wildwood in the laundry, we put sheets through the mangle, and the girls on the receiving end of the mangle would pull the sheet out and start to fold it, and when their hands touched from the friction on the sheet, pop, and they would jump. And we learned to grab the sheet just a little to the side of their hand instead of touching the hands. That static electricity was more than 12 volts, I'll tell you.
Yeah, I've experienced that static electricity. You can actually see a spark jump, and it doesn't feel good either. It makes you go, ah!
Well, you just have an electric personality is all.
Well, Well, thank you. I'll take that in a positive way.
You will find out from this link that our bodies need to be negative. The earth is negative. The ionosphere is positive, and that's what causes lightning. And there's something else I've thought about, but I'll remind you when I remember.
Well, I guess Dad, I used to get a beating every time somebody said, put on your slipper. And you see, I was walking barefooted all my childhood, and I was the one that was not getting sick. And the one that was with slippers all the time, they used to get sick all the time. But I noticed something. For walking barefooted so long, the bottom of my foot became very hard. And whenever we used to play tag, I was the only one that can run on stone, and nobody would have come in and try to get me. But when I got here to America, the bottom of my foot became very soft. And now if they have any kind of object in the floor and I step on it, I could feel that. So I wonder, with the shoes also, the bottom of the feet became very tender, and I can't do it anymore. But you see, Daddy, I guess I was doing the right thing.
Growing up, there was my third and fourth grade teacher had a son that was a year younger than me, and they lived about a mile away. We always went barefoot all summer long, but Glenn went to school barefoot. He had his mother write permission. It wasn't the fact that he couldn't afford shoes. He wanted to go barefoot 7 days a week, so he had only put shoes on usually just to go to church. But when we were going barefoot, of course, in California, you have all the puncture vines and everything, and pretty soon, by the end of the summer, you would hardly even feel them. And it was very interesting, because it wasn't a matter of not being able to afford the shoes. It was just the fact that it felt so good walking in the soil where your dad had plowed this field. And other things, and we just did it automatically. We walked through to the woods and the bushes and the neighbor's property and everything and barefoot. But I always remember my classmate Glenn and him walking barefoot and wanting to go to school. He was the only one on all our 10th grade school that went barefoot to school. But his mother allowed him to do it, and they got permission to do it because he just hated wearing shoes. But I guess now we know how healthy it was.
I think one of the neatest things to walk in was loose dust and feel it puff up in between your toes when you're walking in, especially on a dirt road that's warmed up by the sun. I remember that being very satisfying. In fact, I'm barefoot right now.
I had a question, Brother Dick. You had mentioned something a little bit, maybe I misheard, but you said like maybe in the link they will mention something about, some would say about it being like new, sorry if I'm misquoting, new, like, generation yoga or something? Did you mention something about yoga?
I did. I commented that some people will say, oh, this connecting with the earth, that has to do with yoga and new age.
Yeah.
And I said that all the things that people who practice yoga and new age believe in are not error. They were some of the first group to start being vegan. Now, are we going to give up being vegan because the yogas and the new agers are into it? No, they've adopted something good.
No, yeah. I was merely asking because sometimes, like, I'm interested in, like, doing, like, yoga. But I don't want to get into it because I don't want to get too far. I want to do it for the purposes of being able to be to stretch and to be flexible and to do stuff, but I don't know how far is too far or even if it's okay to participate. So that's why I asked in terms of you mentioning it.
Well, probably the exercising part is good, but when they start asking you to meditate, and be careful. As long as your body's in motion or you're stretching and doing things like that, there's nothing wrong with that. But beware when they tell you to stand there and do this and do meditations and whatnot, because that allows somebody else to get in control of your mind.
Very true. And maybe the yoga exercises have a particular pattern that you follow one after another. Maybe break that up to where you're not following the actual pattern that they list. You're forming your own pattern, and that would help break up that connection there with their exercise plan.
You might even spend part of your exercise time praying. That would keep the devil out.
Sister, there is an exercise that has many of the properties that you will find in yoga. I think, I'm not sure if I have the proper name. I think it's Pilates or Polaris. I don't know if everybody hear from me, but it has a lot of the exercise that you will find in it, but without any kind of philosophy or anything like that. But it has the stretch and the way to keep your body with elasticity. So maybe you can look into that.
Pilates, TT, is that the one that you were referencing? Because I see that one too. I've always had an interest because I used to dance before, and I like the element of like doing ballet dances and being able to stretch and stuff. But I know from learning about what the meditation and the stuff that the yoga gets into, it made me a little leery. So I just abstained from doing it. Period. So I just wanted to ask, since we're all here, to see what the thoughts are on it. But Pilates, I'll probably look into it and see what that's about.
Also, there is a woman that does a lot of YouTube video, and I think we mentioned her last Saturday. She also have ways to be able to do exercise. I forgot her name. I think, Brother Dick, you did mention her. Her name is, she does a lot of videos. Sister Ida is the one that told me about her. Let me see if I can find her name.
Not Barbara O'Neill, surely.
Yes, that's her name.
She did such a good job in Australia, they banned her for life from the internet. I'm sure the AMA and the drug companies saw to that, because they'd be losing money if everybody did what she taught them. Remember the words to the song, The Eight Doctors. Good health is a treasure, and what's more, it's free. When sought for and guarded, quite healthy you'll be. Can't say the same about pharmaceuticals.
You want to sing the doctor song?
Ah, you did it to me. Well, I'll go look it up just a minute. I'm afraid I don't have it quite memorized. I've got to have a crutch. All right, Joan. The rest of you, close your ears. Joan wants to hear this. All right, let's see if I can get it here. Good health is a treasure, and what's more, it's free. If sought for and guarded, quite healthy you'll be. I'm healthy, I'm happy, and if you ask why, I've been to 8 doctors will be my reply. First doctor said as he tousled my hair, get out of the city and get some fresh air. second was warm as he beamed down on me. He said, this is how you get vitamin D. I'm healthy, I'm happy, and if you ask why, I've been to 8 doctors will be my reply. The third careful doctor prescribed Temperance, and since then when tempted I say get the hands. The fourth doctor canceled our evening date. He said get some sleep now, you've stayed up too late. I'm healthy, I'm happy, and if you ask why, I've been to 8 doctors will be my reply. The fifth doctor said, told me enough of just talk. Come now, take your shoes off, let's go for a walk. The sixth doctor pointed to the bountiful field and planned me a menu from all it would yield. Healthy, I'm happy, and if you ask why, I've been to 8 doctors will be my reply. The seventh fine doctor just gushed with advice. He said, drink it, bathe in it, water is nice. The eighth doctor smiled as he said with a nod, all things work together if you just trust in God. I'm healthy, I'm happy, and if you ask why, I've been to 8 doctors will be my reply. Okay, the rest of you can uncover your ears now.
Well, here's a hymn we haven't sung for a while. Come we that love the Lord and let our joys be known. Join in a song with sweet accord. Join in a song with sweet accord and thus surround the throne and thus surround the throne. We're marching to Zion, beautiful, beautiful Zion. We're marching upward to Zion, the beautiful city of God.
Let those refuse to sing who never knew our God. But children of the heavenly King, but children of the heavenly King, may speak their joys abroad, may speak their joys abroad. We're marching to Zion, beautiful, beautiful Zion. We're marching upward to Zion, the beautiful city of God.
The hill of Zion yields 1,000 sacred sweets. Before we reach the heavenly fields, before we reach the heavenly fields, or walk the golden streets, or walk the golden streets. We're marching to Zion, beautiful, beautiful Zion. We're marching upward to Zion, the beautiful city of God.
Then let our songs about and every tear be dry. We march through Emmanuel's ground. We are marching through Emmanuel's ground to fairer worlds on high to fill our worlds on high. We're marching to Zion, beautiful, beautiful Zion. We're marching upward to Zion, the beautiful city of God.
Amen.
Amen. That's where we're heading, dear ones. Let's keep looking up and moving forward in the grace and strength of Christ. Are there any other thoughts, any other songs, any other testimonies, questions that you'd like to share before our dear brother sends us home? Please feel free.
Well, I guess I better send you home. Oh, my, get that cloud. There you go. Keep looking up, thy God is still the same today. Keep looking up, he will not fail, they come what may. Keep looking up, the darkest cloud will roll away. So do not doubt, but keep on alive.